Larry Menti Show. Look back at the week and a look ahead at what is to come. For our city, for our nation, for you. Exclusively on 77 WABC. This is the Larry Menti Show.
And good Saturday night to you. Larry Menti here on the other Saturday Night Live. Although, I'll tell you what, all anybody's talking about right now is Irma. You flip through the stations, it's Irma, Irma, Irma. And rightfully so. This is an enormous hurricane. So glad you're joining me tonight. If you want to call in, the phone number, as always, is 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Hurricane Irma's winds are whipping Florida right now. And the huge storm is spinning a new track, it sounds like, that puts Tampa, not Miami anymore, in its crosshairs. Irma has been downgraded for the time being. It's now a Category 3 hurricane, maximum sustained winds of 12 miles per hour. But it's expected to pick up strength. It's left Cuba. And so as it goes over the water again, it's going to pick up strength as it heads for the Keys. It seems like it's going a little bit to the west right now. So Naples and Tampa, it'll be out in the Gulf again, possibly. And then it'll pick up even more intensity. The storm has left 22 people dead in the Caribbean and is expected to cause major damage in Florida. Already, Irma has caused funnel clouds and at least one tornado, but more are expected. The tornado that we know about right now touched down in Oakland Park. That's a suburb of Fort Lauderdale. No reports of damage from the tornado yet, but nobody's really been out there. There's tornado warnings right now all across southern Florida. Already 76,000 people are without power, and that number will, there's no question that will grow. I took a break for a second because I'm looking at a satellite image of the eye of the hurricane, and it's off Cuba now. And so it's probably within 75 miles of the Keys. It's going to go a little to the left of the Keys. And so the weaker side of the hurricane will be whipping through the Florida Gulf Coast. Now, here's the way we're going to handle Irma tonight. We're monitoring both CNN and Westwood One. When I said I was looking at the satellite, I was looking up at CNN. We have arrangements with both news services. If anything happens, a new track, a news conference, even just an interesting report, if I see a meteorologist up there, we'll go to it live. So you're not going to miss anything. We'll have the very latest on Irma all night long. Now, let me just deal with a couple of things about Irma. First, this is when the media does a great job. You hear me blast television all the time and cable news all the time. But when it gets off politics, when TV gets off politics for a short time, and they deal with this, they deal with breaking news, they deal with live reports, life-saving information, and just the facts, no bias, they do an excellent job. This is what we have 24-hour news for. Exactly this. And we know that all too well in New York because, again, they were excellent with 9/11. If there's a terrorist attack, if there's a natural disaster, if there is, when we attack Baghdad, if there's an enormous story, a breaking news story, there is this immense feeling of responsibility. And when that immense feeling of responsibility, journalistic responsibility, wafts over them, they're excellent. So excellent, excellent job for the most part. There is, of course, NBC that tweeted out the following. Irma locked and loaded towards several Trump properties. Then they had a full story connected to the tweet stating that Mar-a-Lago and 12 Trump golf courses are possibly in the path of Irma. NBC is so biased, they could not even hide it during a hurricane that's going to devastate Florida. They wasted time flippantly saying that Irma is locked and loaded. What does that mean exactly? Why would you use that terminology when you're talking about Trump properties? To me, it sounds like they're aiming at it and they're almost hoping it's gonna happen. Headed for Mar-a-Lago and other properties. Shame on them. Millions of American properties are in harm's way. And they are so obsessed with Trump, they throw all journalistic integrity out the door, even on the cusp of a natural disaster, seemingly hoping the Trump properties get hit. And speaking of Trump, by the way, he's getting high marks for the way he handled Harvey. It will continue after Irma. Even left-leaning publications are reluctantly, begrudgingly saying he did a good job. They do it, you know, buried somewhere in the story, but at least they're giving him some credit. Now, I know many, including some of the people who call into the show, will say, well, that's what he's supposed to do. He's president. Of course he's going to go down there. Of course he's going to hug people. Of course he's going to get the money. Except for the fact not every president's done this well, so let's start with that. And except for the fact that the media set this up as a big test for Trump. And when he passes with flying colors, have the class to say, job well done. You did it. This was the test. You rose to the occasion. We'll get into Trump working with the Democrats on the debt ceiling and Harvey relief a little bit later in the show. But up next, we're going to deal with the ridiculous claim that this has anything to do with climate change. That's coming up next. And again, let me just give you, I'm taking a look at a satellite image right now. And now here's the updated track. The updated track, wow, is right. It's strafing the west coast of Florida, right up through Naples. First, it's going to get the Keys, right up through Naples and Fort Myers, and then Tampa, and it's going to smash into the panhandle. And they're saying it's going to be a 3 until it gets to about Naples, then it's going to go to a 4, a Category 4. And it's not that far off right now. There's winds that are whipping through Florida right as we speak, and there's heavy rain in Florida in the south as we speak, and it's hitting the Keys. But the real intense part of the hurricane is now just starting to hit Florida. So I know they don't say it makes landfall for a while, but for all intents and purposes, it's making landfall as we speak. And I'm going to be on the air for the next 3 hours. And it's expected to make landfall during that time or just after that time. So we will keep you abreast of everything that's happening as it comes through. Again, Irma, a Category 3, expected to strengthen to a Category 4. It's moved a little bit to the west. It's going to strafe the west coast of Florida. 76,000 without power right now. There's a tornado warning. There have been tornadoes. This is something we'll keep an eye on right through the morning. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. I'll come back with your phone call, and we'll talk about the ridiculous claim of climate change when the Larry Menti Show continues. Well, this isn't just another Saturday night, is it? This is the Saturday night when Irma hits the United States. Again, we're watching Irma. The National Weather Service issued this. It's not like them to put out a dire warning like this, to be so dramatic like this, but this is the National Weather Service, the Key West office, and they sent out this warning. This was late yesterday, and it wrote, with asterisk, 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 and then all capital letters. This is as real as it gets. This is as real as it gets. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Then again, three asterisks. Again, all capitals. Nowhere in the Florida Keys will be safe. And then the last line, again, asterisks and capitals. You still have time to evacuate. And then they added, please retweet, because they want as many people to see this as possible. So nowhere in the Florida Keys will be safe. And that makes some sense, because that's the first place that's going to get hit. Highest sustained winds right now, about 125 miles an hour. It's just starting to hit. The most intense part of the storm, north of the eye, is just starting to hit the Florida Keys. So we'll keep watching that. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Andy from Staten Island, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, it's not just another Saturday night on the Larry Menti show.
No. This is tragic what's going to happen down there. I have some friends in Tampa. It's funny, I just called them yesterday and said, are you guys okay? And they said, yeah, we're fine, because it's not heading our way.
Yeah, the same thing. I have a sister in that area, too. We thought everything was going to be all right, but we got to just hope for the best.
And now it is heading their way. I mean, now it's... But who knows? I mean, as of tomorrow, like, some people are saying it might shoot out into the Gulf after it ricochets off the Florida coastline. It might head out to the Gulf. Could be Savannah, Georgia, for all we know, that gets hit at this point. One thing we know about hurricanes is they are unpredictable. And yeah. So as much as we think we know, we don't.
What a week, though. Houston being assaulted by hurricanes. We had the West Indian parade. People got assaulted in gunshots. And Hillary assaulted us with the narration of her book. That her emotional delivery, though, is like wooden. Not that she knows wood or is familiar with...
Oh, stop. No, please. No. Oh, man. Andy.
I thought we needed a little laugh.
Oh, wow. A dirty joke. You started all off with a dirty joke, right?
I'm trying.
So I want you to hear this. So there's a point in the book where she blames Bernie Sanders for her losing. I don't know if you've heard this.
Yeah, I guess every chapter is a blame to somebody different.
Right. And first of all, this is the last thing the Democratic Party needs. They don't want to relive 2016. Nobody does, except Hillary. Nobody does. They want to move on. But Bernie Sanders was on with Stephen Colbert the other night, and he responded. Listen to this.
Secretary Clinton ran against the most unpopular candidate in the history of this country, and she lost, and she was upset about it, and I understand that. But our job now is really not to go backwards. It is to go forwards. It is to kind of create the nation that we know that we can become. We have enormous problems facing us, and I think it's a little bit silly to be keeping talking about 2016.
I think everybody feels the exact same way. And how about that little shot at the top? Look, she lost to the most unpopular candidate in history, and she's upset.
Yeah, she's blaming Trump that she lost. This is the guy you ran against. She's blaming Matt Lauer for asking her questions. That's what Matt Lauer does for a living.
Right, and nobody got tougher questions than Trump. I mean, it's all ridiculous. It is. I'm going to get into the Hillary book a little bit later, but I saw that you were going to bring it up, and I wanted to make sure I had that Bernie Sanders quote ready to go. She's got to just go away. She really does. I don't know what she thinks is her next act, but this is not helping her.
You think she's trying to set herself up to come back in 4 years?
I mean, I'm sure she's going to see the writing on the wall. I think that she still has the lust. Nobody gives that up. Everybody, I think it's still in her. But she's going to, when she sees the poll numbers, her advisors are going to say, look, you're not going to get any money. You're not going to raise any money. The Democrats, they bury their wounded.
So, yeah, oh boy, but what an oxymoron, a Democrat debate between de Blasio and Sal Albanese. That was the funniest.
No, I know. We're going to get all that a little bit later. Hey, thanks for the phone call, Andy.
See you later,
See you later. Louis from Sayreville, New Jersey. You're on 77 WABC. Hey, Louis.
Hello, Larry. How you doing?
Good.
Again? I think you're so absolutely right on your monologue you had. I mean, if you take the extreme right and you say it's weather manipulation, somebody's causing this, and you take this to the extreme left where you say it's climate change, I think cooler heads can prevail in the middle, like you and I and all the rest of your callers that call up. Larry, that was just despicable. It's the first time I heard about what NBC said about that. I mean, you're so right. The cable people and the news have it so right. They do a thorough job. I mean, we don't need them after that. I mean, they're probably only good for public service for emergency purpose. Other than that, it's all pablum. And, you know, it's got me crazy watching this coverage.
Well, here's the thing, Louis. So when they have a natural disaster or you have a man-made disaster or you have a terrorist attack or a war, something like that, they have a purpose. And they can come together. They don't have to be biased. We're already in. We're already invested. We're going to watch. All the other days, which are most of the rest of the days of the year, they have to create something. They have to fill time, and that's where they create this conflict that doesn't have to be there.
Exactly, Larry. Where have all the politics and all the stories have gone? Where's North Korea? Where's everything gone? I mean, has it just disappeared? No. It's the media are doing their purpose. They're covering what's important. But, Larry, what else was I going to say? Oh, listen, well, I guess that was it. I lost my train of thought.
That's all right. If you think of a callback. All right, Louis,
okay,
thanks
Larry,
a lot.
Thank you.
I do appreciate it. Let me just take a look up real quick for Irma. Oh, they have video now. Look at that. I don't know where that must be Naples that it's hitting right now. You can see the palm trees bending over, wind whipping through Naples. Yeah, the trees are succumbing to the winds right now. It can't be... I guess he's shooting out of a hotel window is my guess right now. I'm trying to figure out where the photographer is because the lens is not wet and he doesn't seem to be having a problem. So he's probably shooting out of a hotel window. But I look at this and it looks bad enough in Naples right now and they're not even getting the brunt of it yet. It's going to be much, much worse than that. Much, much worse than that. As the day goes on, they're talking about a storm surge of up to 15 feet possible throughout southwest Florida. And this is just over the next few hours. So there's going to be some major flooding in southwest Florida. If this stays on the track, they expect. Remember, now it's switched from that track a couple of times. Again, just so you know, I'm watching CNN right now. We have a deal with CNN. When something happens, we will switch to them live. We also have a deal with Westwood One. And so if there's any news conferences, I'm not sure there's going to be any this late at night into the early morning. They're probably going to wait till the light of day tomorrow. But if for some, and plus everybody's hunkered down right now, but if there is some type of tragedy, you might be able to get some emergency personnel who will have a news conference. I just want to let you know that we are going to be on top of this and staying on top of this. I kind of ran out of time in the segment, but I want to let you know that when we come back, I'm not only going to talk about the inability of people that have a political agenda to keep it to themselves during a tragedy. I agree with the head of FEMA who was saying it was insensitive to bring up climate change right now. Just forget that. That's next week or it's in a couple of days. There's no reason. You don't have to have such an itchy finger that you need to draw that gun right now. You need to impose that on the narrative right now. You don't need that. Just have some self-control. Let's worry about what's happening in Florida right now. Let's worry what happened in Texas last week with Harvey. And let all that other stuff go. Forget every other agenda you have. Just come together, much like most of cable news did. Just put all that aside for the time being and worry about the now. Worry about what's happening right at this moment. Worry about the people who are going to be devastated, the people that are inevitably going to die, the people that did die in the Caribbean, and the devastation that's about to happen. And yet, some people can't help themselves. And we'll hear from one of them and talk about that when the Larry Mente Show continues on the Great 77 WABC. All right, welcome back. We've been tracking Irma and talking about other things in between. We just want to make sure you know that you're not going to miss anything. As a matter of fact, Bruce, can we just tap into CNN right now? Meteorologist Tom Sater is on. I want to hear what he has to say.
It's going to be a lot like last year when Hurricane Matthew hugged the coast on the East Coast. When it came through Freeport in the Bahamas, there was a little wobble when it underwent one of these eyewall replacement cycles, and it just stayed off the coast by about 30 miles. When it's on the coast, it's catastrophic damage, but because it stayed off last year, Matthew was light to moderate, but it did a lot of damage on A1A, flooding up and down the coast, even at Jacksonville. They'll see that again with this one, even though it's on the other coast. And then we had this historic flooding in the Carolinas that killed about 24. But here, let's break this down. No longer is it west-northwest. It's northwest. So again, it still has that component to move more to the west. I still believe when we break this down and we take a look at the new track, this is what we're thinking right now. Instead of the 90 miles as mentioned, the system's going to travel about 280. So it moves from the center, moves probably pretty close to Naples, and somewhere in between Fort Myers and Tampa, we're looking at a landfall. But it's hard to predict a landfall because, like Matthew last year, skirting the coast, it only takes one little wobble here or there to give us a landfall. It could be now that we're seeing a shift in the Tampa area of about 15 to 20 miles, which actually is the worst news for Tampa because it puts you in the eye band of the strongest winds. It'll give you the surge up into the bay, most likely. Even if it's to the north, we're going to be looking at a return flow. So, again, that's the concern. Consensus is generally maybe around Sarasota, Florida. Possible landfall. Bradenton, all right, that's Manatee County. Anna Marie Island's going to be smacked with this as well. And it's still, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, I noticed this a little bit of a shift from Atlanta, which may keep them out of some of the strongest winds, but they're still in the worst quadrant. But by that time, we'll start to see the storm lose some strength. After that, when it moves up toward Tennessee, the models looked like Harvey, just meandering all over the place, not having a steering current. And that was kind of frightening, thinking, okay, here we go with something that's going to hang around for a while and drop copious amounts of rain. But by then, we think it's going to be dried up and it's not going to have the amount of rainfall that Harvey had. It doesn't have that water source. So maybe 2 to 4 inches. But we've got to get back and take a look at this path because this means everything. And it's critical now for the entire West Coast and everyone who lives in that north, that front right quadrant. Everyone in this north white quadrant, which is the center of the entire state, and even into Georgia, which we talked about with the pine trees and the broad pine area with the down trees there. Still looking at Florida and light calling for 3.4 million to lose power. FEMA's going closer to 5. But even at 3.4 million losing power, that is going to be the greatest power outage in history. And then restoring that power, they believe, will be the greatest restoration of power ever taken place in the U.S. The eye is interesting. We're still seeing some wobbling. But notice the bright yellow banding outside the eye. When that forms and circulates better, when it gets away from the coastline, it'll tighten up and we should see an increase. So even if it stays at a Category 3, that's still a major hurricane. If it gets closer to a 4, you're not going to know much in the way of difference here. We're still going to have incredible storm surge. We still have, of course, the tornado watch that's in place. This will be extended northward. It's a mess. We're going to get hit with this. But again, we're not sure of landfall. Naples could get hit. And then we're thinking somewhere in between Fort Myers and up toward the Tampa area. So, again, here is Sarasota. If this system moves directly up this area, this is a big, big concern because the track is now about 20 miles shifted, 15 to 20, out of Tampa Bay. Wish the news was better, but we're going to continue to watch this. And these things change.
All right, there you go. We're going to continue to monitor that. Tom Sater reporting, a meteorologist for CNN. Several things were important what he was talking about. Let me back up for 1 second. When he was talking about the eye of the hurricane, that just left Cuba. The eye just left Cuba. Now, they are feeling hurricane-force winds in the southern part of Florida right now, up to 74 miles per hour. That was at 10 o'clock. It was reported at 74 miles per hour. It's probably a little bit stronger than that right now, but I'll go with 74 because that's what we know officially. The eye left Cuba, And what he's saying is it's a Category 3 as it leaves Cuba, and it's going to pick up some steam. It can possibly go up to a 4. It has shifted to the west, so when they do this, you've seen it all the time. When they do this little narrow... Oh, you know what? Before I finish this, can we go back to CNN for a second? They're going to the...
There are dozens of models, but the forecasters here put together the best forecast that they can. The shift makes some difference, particularly for where the strongest winds are. But the storm surge is going to occur no matter what, whether we have a wobble to the left or to the right. And along the west coast, it's not going to be ahead of the storm because the winds blow this way around the storm center, and that's pushing the air from the land to the sea. There won't be a storm surge during this time. It's after the center passes to the north that there will be the storm surge. So when the center gets up in here and the flow around it is like this, that's when you're going to get the highest storm surges, after the center passes on the west coast. So here's where we can expect the 10 to 15-foot surge,
in Naples
potentially,
right,
and then as much as 5 to 8 feet in the Tampa area.
This is Ed Rappaport, who is the acting director of the National Hurricane Service. Stay with him.
Harrison, that might be made here is Hurricane Charley back in 2004. What did we learn from that? That could apply
well, that's all right.
here.
You're talking about Hurricane Charley now. I can move on. Let me get back to what I was talking about a second ago, because there's part of this that is very important, especially for our area. The track of the hurricane, the way it's going right now, it's going to be off the coast of Florida. I've told you that a couple of times, off the west coast. It may make landfall, as you heard a couple of people say now, in between Naples and Tampa Bay. And so... Sorry about that. That's my phone. In between Naples and Tampa Bay. And then it's going to ricochet up. It's going to go to the west. It is not going to go to the east. So we're not going to be able to, we're not going to feel in New Jersey and Connecticut and New York, we're not going to feel the remnants of this. The other thing that you just heard a moment ago, which is going to be the legacy of this storm, it sounds like, is the amount of people that are going to be without power. They're talking about possibly 5 million people without, 5 million homes without power. And so that would be the largest power outage in U.S. history. So it is something that we're going to be keeping our eyes on it all night. As you've just heard, every single time something like this, a meteorologist gets on or there's a news conference, I'll break away and go to that. All right, let's talk about Hurricane Irma and Harvey and climate change. At this point, I'm telling you what, the media and the Democrats and the left, some of them can't control themselves. Instead of just showing concern, instead of putting aside agenda and politics, for just a while we brace in Florida and we recover in Texas, they can't help it. A cavalcade of idiots on cable news are lining up to tell us that this is a sure sign that climate change is true. So what about the 12 previous years? Seriously, we've had a hurricane drought after years of predictions that we're going to have an increase in hurricanes and they'll be intense because of climate change. We haven't had a major hurricane make landfall as a hurricane since 2005, before Harvey hit. And now we have Harvey and Irma. And the insensitive climate change clowns jump up and say, I told you so. See, climate change, there it is. Now, if you take that logic, of course they're always going to be right. If they just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait for a natural disaster, if they have to wait over a decade for a natural disaster, they finally get one and then they can claim it, then they're always going to be right. So everything good that happens, you have to ignore. That's not part of the argument. If something bad happens, that's part of the argument. They have no shame. Just let it go. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Now, I'm gonna stop here because I want to pick up on this when we come back, because there's one person in particular that I'm so disappointed with, because I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. You know what it's like when somebody you really like and you admire says something idiotic, especially about politics, and you go, ah, now I have a completely different opinion of you. Now I can't even look at you the same. Now that you open your mouth and prove to the world that you're a moron, I cannot appreciate everything else you do. It happened to me time and time and time again. Almost everybody I like ends up disappointing me because they decide they want to talk about politics. And when they open their mouth and they don't just sing a song or they don't just act, they open their mouth and they go off script or off the lyrics to talk about politics, I go, oh, why? Why did you ruin this for me? I didn't even have to think about you in politics. I listen to you. I go to see your movies so I can escape, so I can get away from this stuff. And now when I see you, I think about what you said. So I'll tell you about the latest person to do this. Talk more about climate change, and I'll take your phone calls at 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we'll continue to track Irma when the Larry Mantey Show continues on the Great 77 WABC. Welcome back to the Larry Mantey Show on the night that Irma is going to hit. Well, not the, I guess the eve of Irma hitting. They're now saying it's slowed down and it's going to be a little bit after the show is off the air, possibly as late as 7 in the morning. You know, because one of the big things right now is that it shifted. I'll get into the latest on Irma in a second. But I do want to talk about celebrities that open their mouths and talk about politics. Now, some are good at it. Some of you listen to and you go, hey, you know what, they know what they're saying. Most aren't. The vast majority are morons. And the problem is when somebody challenges them back, they get so frustrated because they get to deal in this vacuum of Hollywood where they can espouse their opinions to each other and nobody challenges them because they all agree with each other. And so the idiocy goes into a spin cycle. But then when the rest of the world hears some of the stuff they say, you just, oh, my God. They don't even realize where they sound because they live in that bubble of Hollywood. But it really disappoints me when artists, singers, actors that I really like open their mouths to talk politics. Yeah, you know what? You know what a great line about this? My brother-in-law was a funeral director. And he was in a small town. And he was asked to run for mayor because he was very popular in town. He was asked to run for mayor. He's a funny guy. He was very gregarious, and he turned them down, and they asked why. Why don't you want to run? And he said, look, I want to bury both Democrats and Republicans. Right? And wouldn't you think an actor or a singer would feel the same way? They want both Democrats and Republicans to come to see their movies. They want both Democrats and Republicans to buy their albums. But they don't seem to care because they believe everybody agrees with them. And the latest to do this is Jennifer Lawrence.
It's also scary to know, it's been proven through science, that human activity, that climate change is due to human activity, and we continue to ignore it. And the only voice that we really have is through voting. So,
and you have voted,
and we voted, and it was really startling. You know, you're watching these hurricanes now, and it's hard, especially while promoting this movie, not to feel Mother Nature's rage.
I really like Jennifer Lawrence. I really like her acting. I like the way she is. I like that she seems so down to earth. She comes from like a middle class family, and she's great with her family and her brothers. I just never knew she was an idiot. Really, she needs to just act. People are paid millions to give this woman eloquent, sometimes important, often entertaining words to say. Stick with those words. Stick with the script. Let's start with the fact that there is no consensus about climate change. That is a misnomer. That 97% study has been debunked time and time and time again, and yet it's still used by everybody. It was done by a student going for his master's, and he had an online survey. And only 77 of the respondents had anything to do with climate change, with climatology. The most recent survey of any importance was over 1,800 climate scientists conducted by PGL Netherlands, and over 30% of the respondents said that there's no evidence that global warming can be attributed to human activity, or they said they didn't know. Now, I will say that the majority still said yes, but it was a far cry from 97%. It was 60-some percent. Yes, the majority said that there was a significant human contribution. But 60-some percent makes it far from settled science. It means there's a healthy and vocal minority that don't believe in it. So that's not a consensus. And then she said, so that part, first part was wrong. And then she said, our only voice is in an election. You lost the election on that. Yes, you're right. The voice is an election. The voice of the people said they agree, they want Donald Trump. So if climate change was that important, Donald Trump wouldn't have won. And then she's the interviewer, rightfully so, said, well, the election happened and you lost. And she goes, yes, that was shocking. Shocking only if you live in Hollywood. And then finally, to say that Mother Nature is raging, showing her wrath because of the election. Well, I don't even know what to say about that. That's so ridiculous that I... Oh, wait a second. Now I get it. So when President Obama was in, there were no significant hurricanes. Mother Nature was satisfied with President Obama, right? They held hands. Everything was in harmony because President Obama was in office. So there was no hurricanes because Mother Nature loved President Obama. And then when Trump gets elected, Mother Nature joined the resistance movement and is now showing her rage and is taking it out in the electorate. The states that voted for Trump on Texas and Florida. Ohio is probably going to be next. What do you see what happens to Ohio? Nothing bad happened in California. There's been no earthquakes, right? Because they did the right thing. They voted for Obama and then didn't vote for Trump. Then they voted for Hillary. See what I'm saying? How moronic that is? The idea that nature cares at all about our elections? That's what she was saying. That's what she was saying. That we riled up Mother Nature to come after us because we don't conform with the way she believes. That's what happens when these people go off of scripts. Now, I don't know too much about Jennifer Lawrence. I just know that when I see her being interviewed on late night shows, I like her and I like her movies and I'm entertained by her. I don't know. Did she go to college? Did she leave college early to go out to be a Hollywood actor? Because most of them did. Like most of these people are not well-read and not learned and aren't degreed. Most of them just get to speak and we have to listen because they get a microphone and most of us don't. And so they inflict themselves on us only because they can. It doesn't mean their opinion is more important. It just means they are allowed to. But think about this in the past. These were our court jesters. They're just there to entertain us. They're not there to enlighten us. Unless they use someone else's words or somebody else's talent to enlighten us. The talent of directors and the talent of scriptwriters. And people that actually study this stuff. But we raise them to import because you know why? We're also idiots. Why make them important? please, let's stop listening to them. Let's stop making what they say of any import whatsoever, because it's not. I hope Jennifer Lawrence isn't listening, because I do like her. I guess calling her a moron would be a deal breaker, being friends with her, right? All right, let me give you the very latest on Irma before we take a break. And you're going to get a news update at the top of the hour. But let me just tell you that this is the latest. This is from the hurricane service at 11 o'clock. They're saying that the track has shifted slightly farther to the west, about 15 miles. Landfall will occur first over Key West at around 7 a.m. Sunday morning. The next landfall after that is expected near Sarasota late Sunday evening. Florida cities of Naples and Fort Myers are expected to see significant storm surges and dangerous winds. The Center for Hurricane Irma is now expected to track over Tampa Bay, which could mean an increase in the storm surge in and around Tampa and the St. Petersburg area. Irma is still expected to strengthen slightly before landfall, but it is no longer expected, this is good news, no longer expected to be a Category 4 storm. This is according to the National Hurricane Center. Right now, it's been increased over 196,000 people without power in Florida. That will significantly rise. We'll be back with more on Irma and the events of the week right after this. Watching CNN, and it kind of cracks me up because they have all their big anchors on the East Coast, because that's where they thought it was going to be. And now, look at that guy. You see CNN right now? The guy, there's no rain. It's like a nice day. He can go out and act to a nice restaurant or something. Look, there's nothing. He has nothing. The other guy either. The other guy has a slicker on, has a little bit of wind, but he's not getting hit either. They put their people up and down the East Coast. They're going to have to switch them over and get them on the West Coast right now. All right. Like I said a little bit earlier, we will continue to monitor Hurricane Irma as it approaches the Keys. They're starting to feel the hurricane winds right now, with winds 70, 80 miles per hour, which are hurricane strength winds. And that's just the outer bands of Irma as it leaves Cuba and moves up. But I do want to talk about Donald Trump and his reaction to Hurricane Harvey. And if you want to join in, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. And the reason I want to talk about it is because I am always amused at the hypocrisy of people who are so politically biased, they make no sense. They contradict themselves constantly. Let me give you an example. I'm always amused by those who say they want Republicans and Democrats to work together. And then when Republicans and Democrats actually work together, they're furious. See, what they really want is for the other side to work for their side. Whether they're Republicans or Democrats, that's what they want. They want people on the other side to see things the same way they do. But if anybody from my side works with the other side, they're traitors, even when the outcome is positive. And that leads us to President Trump working with Democrats to extend the debt ceiling for 3 months and get immediate aid for Harvey victims. Republicans went crazy. How dare he work with the other side? I'm glad he did it. The great deal maker finally made a deal as president that works for everybody except for Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. And Republicans in Congress at this point just need to get over themselves. They can have the big debt ceiling debate later. We have a catastrophe in Texas and another one happening in Florida. We have no time for hurt feelings. Donald Trump cannot trust the Republicans at this point to get anything done. They are schizophrenic as a whole. There's too many personalities, too many agendas, too many ideologies. The quickest way for the president to get relief for Harvey was to work with the Democrats, and that's what he did. He took the path of least resistance because people needed help. Good for him. That's what he's supposed to do as president. And if the Republicans don't act on a DACA bill, on a Dreamer bill, and the tax bill, he'll do it again. I can assure you he's decided he can't count on the Republicans in Congress. And he's going to have to work with whoever will help him get his agenda done or whatever he wants done at the time. Donald Trump is not going to go down in flames because the Republicans can't get their act together. He has made that abundantly clear. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. The Obamacare repeal and replace was and is an embarrassment for the Republicans and by extension for Donald Trump. Now, this is something I'm sure during the campaign he grabbed onto because the Republicans wanted it and he kept saying it over and over again, but his heart was never really into it. He just knew the Republicans wanted it, and so he said, got to repeal and replace, we're going to do this right away. And he thought it was an easy one, an easy get, because the Republicans had voted for it 30-some times. He didn't know they didn't really mean it, but he found out. Now, he's tweeted out as much and warned the Republicans that he has no problem working with the other side. And he came out and said the Republicans are awful at making a deal. By the way, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are thrilled at this. Because what they're seeing now is that their agenda has a chance. All of a sudden, the president is listening to them. And there are some people that are blaming President Trump. The blame is squarely with the Republicans. They're dysfunctional. They are one big dysfunctional family. And if you've noticed, people that haven't supported Donald Trump, people that have turned on him all across the country are getting primaried. And I don't think that comes from above. I think that's organic. I know five or six races of congressmen that are running that voted against Donald Trump's agenda that are being primaried by conservatives who are running specifically on that. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. So the Republicans in Congress, especially those that want to be reelected or even win the nomination, have to wake up. They have to suck it up. And they have to work with Trump, because if they don't work with Trump, the Democrats have shown that they will. So if the Republicans in Congress don't want to lose all power, and what's going to happen is they're going to be so irrelevant, they're going to lose the House and they may lose the Senate. It seems impossible for them to lose the Senate the way that the board's laid out right now. It does seem impossible. But if they keep acting this way, if they can't get anything done, especially the things that they promised they would get done, especially the things they've already voted for when they knew it would be vetoed, they're coming off like frauds. So in this whole thing, don't fall for the blame for Donald Trump. Don't fall for that at all. That's a ruse. This is absolutely on the Republicans and the fact that they can't get their act together. And I would not be surprised if Paul Ryan loses his speakership over just this. There already is a conservative movement. You know, the Speaker of the House doesn't have to be a congressman. He doesn't have to be an elected congressman. There's a movement in the House already to bring Newt Gingrich back. I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but it shows a discontent. And if it shows a discontent for Paul Ryan, and he's already, and there's already a discontent at the White House, even though the two of them had dinner this week after this whole debacle. If he's ineffective, then he's going to be out. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We continue to watch Irma. We'll have an update, and we'll have your phone call right after the break.
Ooh, that's why I'm easy.
Sunday morning at 77 WABC. Hurricane Irma veering off to the west. It looks like the remnants of it are not going to come up this way at all. It's going to go out into Tennessee and a little bit over to the west and the Midwest. And it's going to hit Florida a little bit later this morning. They're feeling hurricane winds right now, but they're not feeling the brunt of it and won't until a little bit later this morning. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We are talking about Trump and the Democrats, them working together because the Republicans can't get their act together. Valerie from Long Island, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes.
You're on the air, Valerie.
Thank you. Larry is so wonderful, and I agree 100% with him most of the time, all of the time. And Donald Trump did the smart thing when he got together with the Democratic leaders, because the Republicans have been vile and very, very bad to him. And he's doing a great service to the country when he goes ahead and does his wonderful agenda with Democratic people. That's what it's all about.
Well, now, he used to be a Democrat.
Yeah, definitely. He was almost a liberal, you know. He was. I just couldn't stand. I'm an average citizen. I could not stand to watch Paul Ryan standing behind the president, Donald Trump, like a jealous bridesmaid. He was just so false and so nasty about everything. And you're so right. And I don't recall Michelle Obama accompanying her husband to any of the catastrophes. They found a lot of fault with Melania's shoes, but she's a beautiful woman. And I just think it was disgraceful. They don't know what to pick at next, you know?
Right. Now watch, Valerie. That's a great point. And thanks a lot for the phone call, Valerie. Watch what's going to happen now. Now, because he's working with Democrats, he's going to be okay. He's not going to be criticized as much because he's working with Democrats now. And that just proves how fraudulent the media is. Tom from Ohio, you're in 77 WABC.
Good morning, Larry.
Morning,
you know,
Tom.
As far as the deal that Trump made, you know, at first when they said deal with the Democrats, and then they said with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, I was wondering if they were saying deal with the Devilcrats. but you know, it occurred to me, first of all, when Steve Bannon came out with that interview with Charlie Rose, I guess it airs tomorrow, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan are not doing anything to help Trump. And it, you know, when you consider that legislatively, they really haven't, they've gone through the motion, but they haven't really pushed to get things done, point one. Point two, when I found out earlier this week, and it was the middle of the week, and a lot of people might have missed it, that the Justice Department is not going to pursue Lois Lerner for the IRS scandal, combined with the fact that I'm listening to Sarah Carter from Circa.com, who's really been following the whole Hillary server situation, being interviewed, and she was asked if there's a statute of limitations, any concerns there, and she said yes, some of those are running out in January. And then I put that together.
You're building a big conspiracy here, aren't you, Tom?
Well, when I put that together with the situation with the people from VIPS, the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, they were actually formed in 2003 to try to stop George W. Bush from going into Iraq with the weapons of mass destruction. And they're saying now that the WikiLeaks, the memos were downloaded at a rate that the vast majority of servers in the world could not handle, that it was most likely, and they're saying 97% certainty, that it was done with a thumb drive from somebody within the DNC.
All right, Todd, I think you're losing some people here, so you got to tie this all together now.
What I'm saying is, why aren't Mitch McConnell and the rest of the Republicans just in both houses screaming at the top of their lungs to stop the prosecution of Trump and look into Hillary Clinton, look into the thumb drive, look into the Seth Rich murder, look into Debbie Wasserman Schultz? It's because they want him to fail.
Yeah, well, all right, Tom, thanks a lot. Here's the, I will agree with that they should be looking at the Debbie Wasserman Schultz scandal right now. I believe that they should be looking at that. Some of the other stuff, here's what happens. When a new administration comes in, they've got the power, and they're the ones that are going to be investigated. When the old administration leaves, unless it has some type of residual impact, it's not worth investigating anymore. Nobody really has an interest in it. I know that there are people that are diehard conservatives and Republicans that are thinking Hillary Clinton should go to jail, Lois Lerner should go to jail, Eric Holder should go to jail. We should go after all the people from the past administration and put them in jail. There's not an appetite for that, except for a small number of people. And if the Republicans were to pursue this, it would be a death knell for them. There's no political benefit. There's no benefit to the country. It is just politics. It's pure partisan politics to want that to happen. Now, you might be right. I believe you're right. There's a wrong done. But it's extremely rare. Extremely rare for a current administration's Justice Department to reach back to a previous administration and prosecute anybody in that previous administration. Because when you start down that road, that's going to happen every time somebody new is elected. And so I don't know if it's some type of unspoken pact between administrations that they're not going to go back and get somebody, but it never happens. And I think it's a good thing for the country. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Steve from Manhattan, you're on 77 WABC. You there, Steve? Steve went off the line for a second. This is really rare. Hi, Steve. You good? Call back, all right? Charles from Woodbridge, you're on 77 WABC.
Good morning, Larry Mente. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I saw you on television.
Yeah, that's my real job.
Wow, I you look good on TV.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
It's a compliment to me to you. We have something in common with each other.
You look good, too?
Yeah. you're funny, but you got a good sense of humor.
Oh, thanks.
You ever seen the movie Twister?
Yes.
I've seen that, and that's like an old movie, you know, from, we're talking about storms and everything.
Right.
Yeah, you know, how storms are moved, you know, how they're cycled.
I'm trying to think who was in that. Was that Bill Paxton?
Yes.
That was Bill Paxton, and what was the woman's name?
What was the woman? I can't remember her name.
I can see her, and I can't think of her name. Yeah. Anyway, what's the point, Charles?
Well, the point is how these storms are shifted, like what you were talking about earlier. You know, like it's not in the east, it's not in the north, it's up to the southwest.
Right, 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 right.
And where their patterns are, where this Mother Nature's taking it.
No, you're right. They shift all the time. Thanks for the phone call, Charles. They shift all the time. And I'm not sure what the point of that was, but if you're saying that they always get this wrong, they don't always get it wrong. And it's important that you have some kind of idea where the track's going to be and who could be affected, because it saves lives. Lives are going to be saved all through the day today because of the work of meteorologists in the National Weather Service. No question. There was absolutely no question in my mind. And if they didn't come up with tracks, and if they didn't talk about the intensity of the storms, even when they're wrong sometimes, they still have to report it. I was the news anchor at the famous storm of the century that never happened. I don't know if you remember that. And there was a guy named John Belaris who was on with Howard Stern, and he was on 2020, and he was on because he was the face of getting that storm wrong. And it was funny because he apologized at the same time when I was defending him, and I was mad about that. But I was out there defending him all the time. At the same time, he was saying, I'm sorry for it. Because what are you supposed to do? If you see a storm like a hurricane coming right at you, coming in an area, are you supposed to keep that to yourself because it may not happen? Of course not. Of course not, because people could die. It's that important. And if you're wrong, or it goes off track, or it veers, or there's something that happens so the forecast is not correct, that's a good thing. It doesn't make you worthy of ridicule. You should be thanked for saying this was a distinct possibility. So this idea that for some reason we should be more careful. I know Rush Limbaugh was saying something like this week. They watch, they're going to be wrong on this Irma. Who cares? If Irma's barreling down towards you, and the best science and the best meteorologist take this track, and the satellites take this track at coming right towards Miami, what are you supposed to do? Not tell people? Of course you're going to tell people. If it veers around and it goes somewhere else, tell them then. Good for Miami. It's still smart they evacuated. It's still smart that West Palm Beach evacuated. It's still smart to evacuate because of the awful possibility. And when the possibility doesn't happen, we should all cheer that. And not say, oh, they're wrong again. That's irresponsible. We're coming back. Well, breaking news, and Irma has imposed itself on this show. Let's take a quick listen to CNN. Their meteorologist is up.
I dare say that by the next advisory, we may see this creep back up again to a stronger hurricane. All right, there's a lot to be said. Numerous power outages reported across the Florida Keys, specifically Key West. But take a look at this. This doesn't look all that impressive. It's a storm surge. But let's zoom in across this region. Here are the Florida Keys, essentially the Everglades, and then we go up towards Marco Island and Naples, Florida. We can zoom in and show you Marco Island. Marco Island is beautiful. It is gorgeous. It's a sumptuous community. But there are all these little inlets in here. And if we're looking at a storm surge of, let's say, conservatively, 8 to 12 feet, could be 15 feet. We're looking at all of this beauty going underwater, and look at all these little inlets. All of that will be flooded. There is a very fragile ecosystem across this region as well. Let's go further to the north, towards Naples and Cape Coral, and you can see all the different little inlets across this region as well. And still, we go to our graphic here and give us an indication that Sanibel Island, Captiva, many, many visitors.
All right, that's
there.
Good. That was actually fascinating. The storm surge, what she's showing is in some of these outer islands and some of the areas like the Everglades, which are, it's a lot of water anyway, and a lot of strands and peninsulas, that all could be underwater. So the idea that those coastal communities had to evacuate because it was all going to be flooded out was absolutely correct. It's just that it's happening on the western Gulf Coast rather than on the East Coast. And most of the evacuations early on were on the East Coast. It's the Gulf Coast that's going to be affected right now, unless it changes again. But as of right now, as it gets closer, that's what's going to happen. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Lauren from Manhattan, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just hanging on about newly accessible Arctic resources due to climate change on 60 Minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. Hold on a little bit longer. Steve from Manhattan, you're on 77 WABC.
All right, Larry. And just before we get to this hurricane and Trump, they do listen to your show. People should realize that, because a few weeks ago I brought up the point that for the MTA should increase the usage of express tracks and people stop throwing garbage on the tracks, because I've been to stations in the subway system that look like garbage dumps. They heard these calls. They're now increasing the fines. They're doubling the fines if you throw garbage on the tracks, and they're increasing the policing of those areas to catch people doing it. I can tell you, I was on a subway train one time. The guy opened the car doors in between the cars and threw the newspaper right outside the car door. And he didn't want to get the newspaper on the floor, so he just flung it out basically out the window. But the bottom line is, track fires cause big delays in the system. Now, getting to these hurricanes, when they tell people to evacuate and leave the areas, they're doing this because they know the hurricane is coming. They don't know how forceful it's going to be when it lands where you are, but you got to get out of there. That's the bottom line. You have to evacuate out of there. And it would be nice if they built certain buildings. Like if you live down there, my house would be built to withstand these hurricanes. But schools, police stations, hospitals, anything where you're dealing with the public emergency should be built to withstand these hurricanes.
Yeah, well, there's something that they are, but when it gets up to a Category 5, it's difficult. Like, for instance, I don't know if you saw the story about the cranes in Miami that could stand withstand winds of up to 145 miles per hour. Yet, if it hit as a Cat 5, it was going to be more than that. So you can to a certain point, but there are some structures that are going to go. And God forbid if it ever hits up here, if a hurricane ever hits us up here, there are a lot of structures up and down the northeastern corridor that would not be able to withstand hurricane force winds.
Of course, when you build it to withstand much more of a force of a hurricane, but only because if you're in the building, hopefully it withstand it. We know you should really be out of there. And I give you a good story. I call it the double storm Sandy, right? I was in Brooklyn a few days after that storm, and some woman is coming down the block screaming, "Can you help me? Can you help me?" So we were able to open a barricade for her to get her through the barricade. You know who she was? She was a FEMA lady. People don't know FEMA is the federal emergency people, but I believe had the power to maybe grant you, money or something, not give it to you at the point. She was being chased by a crowd of people. And she was thanking, "Hey, thank you for letting me in here and stuff." People act funny during these storms and after these storms. And that's the bottom line. When you have the rescue crews down there and the rescue crews that are going down there, I really believe let those guys do their things to help the people out. I don't believe a president should go anywhere near an area where there's a disaster, for a photo op or something. He picks up a sandbag and he gets a photograph.
Yeah, but Steve, that's expected now. I understand, Ian, you're right. And you're absolutely right, because when the president goes down, he takes resources away that people need. I understand that, but everybody expects it. What would be great is if Donald Trump were to say, "I'm not going down because it's just for a photo opportunity. There's not much I can do. I can do more good for them up here," but that's not what we expect. We want to see him down there hugging people. And when I say we, I'm talking about the rest of America.
Well, to me, basically, that's the brainwashing of people. Anybody with common sense knows a presidential trip is a logistical nightmare to bring them down anywhere near that area. Let the rescue people do their thing. If everyone cooperates, we'll get through this and rebuild. But also, remember, the money that's contributed to these people to help them out should go directly to those people. Because I can tell you, several years ago, a few months after Hurricane Sandy, or what do you want to call it, Superstorm Sandy, Governor Christie had a charity, put one of his relatives in charge of it.
His wife.
And right, and I was blasting him on air to release that money, and the next day they released millions of dollars to help the people whose homes had to be rebuilt and fixed. That's where the money's to go for, not for these clowns who run these charities and have these fundraisers with limos going back and forth. Get the money to the people. That's where we want it.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with that, Steve. And I think not all of the Sandy money has been accounted for yet either. So maybe you got to talk about it again. Greg from Chatham, New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, Larry, you're hitting.
I know. You know what? I'm like, every time, by the way, Greg, you call. And I read Chatham, and I say Chatham. I look in the other room, and there is Mike mouthing that I said it wrong. So he didn't have to say anything. He just has to mouth it. So I apologize, Chatham.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. No problem at all. Mike is great. He's the best. You have the best backup guy there. Mike is a wonderful, wonderful person to have joining you overnight on the Larry Menke Show.
See, that's you're my backup guys. You're the pips. You like Bruce. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, listen, I briefly wanted to talk about Trump going full Nixon, a hard left in this money for Harvey bill where he cozied up to Schumer and Pelosi. This was not a brilliant chess move. This is Trump being Trump. It's all about Trump. You know, I was a Cruz guy. I voted for Trump, for the record. I do support him in many things.
By the way, Greg, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but do you know that Ted Cruz predicted this was going to happen? There's a soundbite of him out there predicting that Donald Trump would work with Nancy Pelosi, and at the time he said Harry Reid, but it's Chuck Schumer is just Harry Reid. And so he predicted this was going to happen.
Well, that's very interesting. Thanks for telling me about that. This is Trump being... Trump gravitates toward things that will make him successful. This thing about calling Schumer and Pelosi on Thursday morning, gloating about how the press is fawning all over this deal, this is a terrible indication that Trump is now being seduced by the hard left. What about the American voter? What about the American people?
I think you're reading too much into it, Greg. I don't think he's being seduced by the hard left. I think he's frustrated by a Republican Party that can't get anything done. They can't get out of their own way.
I agree with that. But the answer is not to side with the enemy against the American people. This money for Harvey, Larry, this should have been done on a separate bill. It should never have been included in the budget resolution bill. That is just a sham.
No, I agree with you, but he couldn't count on the Republicans to do anything. I don't think it would have got done had he not done this, and he would have looked bad again. You're right. It is about Donald Trump. But by the way, every single president has an ego like this, and they don't like to look bad. So, of course, he worked with whoever would make him look good.
But you know what? Ronald Reagan wouldn't have done this in this instance. He would have gone to the American people in a news broadcast from the White House, and he would have used the power of the American people to tame Ryan and McConnell, who we have to get rid of. They're snakes in the grass. They're worse than Pelosi and Schumer.
I agree with you, but we didn't have time for that this time. And he worked with Tip O'Neill all the time. And look, it was a different time. I understand that. So it's tough. It's difficult to compare then to now. The division in this country, and especially the division in politics, and much of that caused by the media, is like it's never, ever, ever been before.
And the last little tidbit, we found out that for months, he instructed his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, to deal with Dick Durbin on DACA. And that is terrible. If this kind of stuff is going on behind the scenes, where Trump is colluding behind the scenes with Durbin and Schumer and Pelosi out front, in front of the American people, but behind the scenes he's also dealing with Democrats for months on end through Jared and maybe through Ivanka. This is not the way the White House is going to be successful in the next 3 years or the next 5 years.
Maybe it's the only way they're going to be successful, considering the fact that the Republicans keep making him look bad. If the Republicans can't repeal and replace Obamacare, which they've said they're going to do for 7 years, and they can't do it, why should he trust them on anything?
I agree with you that on Larry. We're all in a pickle here, and we just don't know what to do. It's terrible.
Well, I think he found out what to do, and I think that was the... Thanks a lot, Greg, for the phone call. I think that was a warning shot to Republicans. Either you get on board with me, or I'm going to work with whoever's going to help me get things done. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Coming back after this. Welcome back to the Larry Mentz Show, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Gino from the Bronx, you're on 77 WABC.
Well, I've got my own hurricane survival story I want to say, and then afterwards I'm going to rip into the Republican establishment slime balls.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, Hurricane Floyd, so summer 1999, I was with my now ex-girlfriend living in East Central Florida. It was a Category 4 hurricane, much like Irma. And much like Irma, it was projected to go straight up the peninsula and cut right through the heart of Florida. As it turned out, she and I were the only ones in the whole neighborhood, on the whole block, that stayed behind, hunkered down. We even put mattresses up against the windows. We boarded up everything that we could. We put the duct tape and all that crap. As it turned out, at the last minute, literally, Hurricane Floyd took a turn northward and eastward and actually hit the Carolinas, and we got spared. The lights never went out. We got to see the storm and the weather channel on TV. The TV never went out. There were some branches and some brush that were downed and all that. We never lost power. It was luck, pure dumb luck. That's the way it goes with natural disasters.
Right.
Either you're in the path or you're not. Either you get smacked or you don't get smacked. But man-made disasters like the scum that we have in Congress, and unfortunately I have to throw in the Trumpster as well, when you make deals with the devil's going to come back to screw you. Just like the story of the scorpion and the frog. You've heard this story many times. I won't repeat it. But the scorpion ends up killing the frog after the frog takes him across the river, and they both drown because it was in his nature to be a killer. The Democrats, when you make a deal with Democrats, with Bolsheviks, with anarchists and imbeciles, that's what's going to happen to you. And when it happens to you, it happens to all of us. It's a man-made disaster. There is no reason on God's green earth why Donald Trump, as much as I hate Bitch McConnell and Little Paulie and all the rest of the slime balls in the Republican Party, there's still no reason on earth to make a deal with Crazy Nancy, Schmuck Schumer, and Dick Durbin, especially when it comes to DACA, as the previous caller mentioned. Behind-the-scenes deal with that slime, absolute slime that Durbin is on DACA, and renouncing basically everything he promised during the campaign. This is why I keep telling you, you're going to owe me that nice chicken parmesan dinner, because I'm going to win that bet, because there's going to be at least three or four idiot Republicans that are going to lose their seats in the Senate, and the Democrats, believe it or not, are either going to go 24-0 or they go 23-1, and they'll get those four seats they need to take the Senate back.
Wait a second, is the bet 24-0?
Their slime balls are stabbing us in the back, and you don't want to admit it, but you keep on saying what I've already been saying. These guys cannot be trusted. So Donald Trump makes a deal with the devil, and the devil's going to come back to haunt them and haunt all of us. So I want to let you know that I'm going to enjoy that wonderful dinner that's going to come out of your pocket, and you're going to be paying for it at my favorite restaurant here in the Belmont section of the Bronx.
All right, Gino, I got to run, but there's no way you're going to be right on this. And now I can't remember what the bet is. Is it that they take control of the Senate, or are you betting against them going 24-0? That I'd rather have the 24-0 bet, to tell you the truth, if I can take either of them. Jeff from Jersey City, I know he wants the chicken parm. But the problem is he makes the chicken parm that I win, and then I have to buy the chicken parm. It really is a horrible bet, except that he's so way out there, it's never going to happen. I'm never going to have to pay. Hey, Jeff from Jersey City, you're on 77 WABC.
Thank you. And I want to encourage President Trump to pass his agenda with Chuck and Nancy, because you've got to have accomplishments for the citizens. That's what he's there for. He's not there for these people really irritate me, Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, and he has a lot of other critics even in his own party. You know what? He's got to work for the people, not for them people in the Republican Party. So I would encourage him. He'll get something done. In the end, he'll have an accomplishment with Schumer and Pelosi. So I hope that he will work with them. And shame on McConnell and Ryan. So that's the way I feel about it. And you know what, Larry, I want to ask you one thing.
Sure.
Say something about the New York City mayor's race.
Go ahead.
And Bill de Blasio, who I can't stand. I don't like the guy at all. The other guy that's running doesn't get any media attention really, but he's a solid citizen through and through, and he's worked, in every kind of job, teaching, and he's a lawyer, and that's Albanese, and I know there's not been any media attention on that at all. Of course, de Blasio somehow has, told everybody this is a done deal. I'm gonna be the mayor again, and nobody's gonna challenge me, and they don't give the guy, I don't know if you know anything about Albanese, but he's a great guy and he's smart.
I watched the debate. He gets enough coverage. He gets coverage in the newspaper. I mean, I keep reading the newspaper about him. And when you listen to Curtis talks about him all the time. So he's got some media coverage. A lot of the media coverage he doesn't get is because it's tough right now because of the events in the country. They're dominating even local news coverage. And then de Blasio just has so much money, he can buy media time.
That's true. And you know what? One thing, and then I'll let you go, Larry. The thing about the monuments, that's another one. And de Blasio...
Yeah, let's not bring that up right now. I'm gonna hold off on that one, Jeff, only because I'm going to be talking about that in a little bit. But I do appreciate the phone call. Will from Farmingdale, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry, I usually agree with you. This is the first time I called you that I disagree with you, so give me a second before you go all...
No, I'm not going to go off on you. Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. Every time I hear that, you see, I believe that the left-right paradigm is just a scripted pseudo-war to get us calling each other Nazis and commies and sound like Gino. I'm not into that camp, okay? I'm into the camp of, I like good politics, okay? And when you talk about, oh, well, the president has to work with them to get something done. Get what done? Get what done?
He got money to Harvey.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. And that's why I said, just give me a second because I'm going to answer that. So you're going to tell me that he couldn't go in there, especially supposing to be the bully that he's supposed to be, and look them straight in the face and say, you're not going to be the party that doesn't fund the government, and you're not going to be the party that lets the poor people suffer from Harvey. You want to do that? Go ahead. Walk the plank. What do I look like, an idiot? You're going to fund this deal, and you're going to fund it for 12 or 18 months, and I'll tell you why you're going to do that. Because we're not going to deal with this poison pill in 3 months and kick the can down the road right before the midterm elections. Here's what you got done. Nothing. They're definitely going to fund the deal. That's why you tie Harvey to the deal, so that you make sure you put the Democrats in that corner.
You don't think, let me just ask you a question, Will. You don't think he's threatened them already? I mean, he's been threatening them over and over again about the repeal, replace and repeal. It didn't work.
Right, but replace and repeal doesn't even have enough support with the Republicans. McCain went maverick on you. This deal is going to... That's why you tie Harvey to the deal. So you could turn around and say, what are you going to do? You're going to let these poor people die over there in Texas? That's why you... Listen, it's a horrible crisis. You don't want to take advantage of it, but that's what politics is. There's no way that any other president doesn't walk out of there with at least a 6- or 12-month deal. It's mind-blowing. Besides the fact that the despicable people, besides the fact that they hate you and loathe all your supporters, if you don't go in there and try to hammer them and get whatever support you can from your party to hammer them, you just make the art of the deal not. That's what we saw just now, the opposite of the art of the deal.
All right, Will, thanks. Good phone call. I completely disagree with you. I think he actually is going to now be able to get the Republicans to line up. I might be wrong, because it might be wishful thinking at this point, but I think this was a shot over the bow. If you're not going to do what I say, I'm going to work with the Democrats. We'll see if it works. Welcome back. We continue to watch Irma. It slowed down, and that's not a good thing. It slowed down to 6 miles per hour after it left Cuba, and it veered course a little bit. Now going off the Gulf Coast. And they're saying it's going to hit the Keys. There's no question about that. It's going to hit the Keys, then skip off, maybe hit Tampa, if not, or somewhere between Tampa and Naples. If it doesn't do that, it'll hit Sarasota. But it just lets you know that it's kind of unpredictable. But slowing down gives it a chance to pick up more intensity, and they're saying it is going to intensify. They're not sure if it's going to go from a Category 3 to a Category 4, but it's certainly going to be a strong Category 3 at the very least. It's a Category 3 right now. As I've been telling you, we have been monitoring CNN. We have a deal with them, and we can go to CNN at any time, especially if there's a news conference or there is any news to go to. And we also have a deal with Westwood One in case there's any news conferences, and we will certainly keep you abreast of what's going on. In the meantime, we're talking about Donald Trump and the deal he cut with the Democrats to get immediate funding for Harvey and to extend the debt ceiling fight for 3 months from now. He put it off for 3 months from now, and the Republicans are going crazy because he worked with the Democrats. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Susan from Brooklyn, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi there.
Hi, Susan.
People were talking about Jared Kushner before.
working with, you know, Dick Durbin on the DACA thing, kind of, you know, clandestine. And, but I also want to just, like, take your temperature, because I feel a little disturbed about Ivanka Trump making her big signature item paid family leave. I mean, why doesn't she, like, get involved with the whole, like, education reform? Because that is, like, affecting so many, you know, underprivileged children. And
when you talk about education reform, you're talking about school choice?
Yeah, the whole thing. Get involved with, you know, making some of these schools have some kind of accountability and let people have choice to get their kids out of failing dangerous schools.
Well, Susan, she's going to deal with, thanks for the phone call. It was a little off topic, but I'll deal with it. Look, she's going to deal with what she wants to deal with, and she is big on paid family leave and women in the workplace. And also Betsy DeVos is there, and Betsy DeVos, school choice is her thing, and I'm sure they feel like they have that covered. By the way, I listened to this podcast about Betsy DeVos, and I was embarrassed that I was ignorant about Betsy DeVos. Because I bought into the media narrative that Betsy DeVos never stepped into a public school and that Betsy DeVos doesn't know anything about public schools and that Betsy DeVos only got the job because she's a big Republican donor. And then I listened to this, which by far is not a conservative podcast. It's an American Life, which is, you know, done by NPR. And it talked about Betsy DeVos spending years and years and years, 5 years of her life, mentoring at a public school. So she absolutely had stepped into a public school. And it was a low-income, mostly Hispanic public school that she was working at. And she went every single week for 5 years to mentor children. And she changed their lives. And some of the stuff got me choked up as she was talking about it. And her feeling is that it's not important to save the system because the system is failing. What's important is to save the children and families. But it was wonderful. If you can find the podcast, I'd listen to it because it opened my eyes to Betsy DeVos and how she's believed in this for the longest, longest time. As far as Ivanka believing in it, I think with somebody like Betsy DeVos, you don't necessarily need to have Ivanka. Stan from Forest Hills, you're on 77 WABC. Hey, Stan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay. What deal? What deal are you talking about? The deal that Charlie Schumer sat with Nancy Pelosi in? There is an agreement to make a deal. There is no deal. There's the idea that they're going to hopefully get this through and so forth. But remember something. I think you know. He has no power, neither does she. And if, as far as I'm concerned, the Republicans have distanced themselves from Trump over the last weeks and months, and this will do it even more. In fact, I read an article that they're even planning more at distancing themselves. When it's in their interest, they will support him. When it's not, they will step away from him. This is a little situation, which I found wonderful to see. Basically, it's Trump splitting the heads. He's dividing it, making them mad, and so forth. But the Republicans, don't underestimate Mitch McConnell. I mean, I'm a Democrat. Don't underestimate him, and he's pretty shrewd and pretty smart.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell seemed to be pretty happy after the meeting, so I'm not sure he's not going to help this get through. Look, nobody's going to get in the way of the Harvey money, and all the consternation about it being only 3 months and kicking the can down the road, that's what they've been doing for years. A lot of that is politics. This deal's done. It's done. And I was just reading an article about why the Democrats have to be careful about this because they're hooking themselves now to Donald Trump and he's not reliable. He could switch on them at any second. I feel the other way about the Democrats too. That they can switch on them too.
I don't trust them. I think Schumer doesn't trust them anyway. I think he's just fishing to see what he can do. This dude could collapse in any second.
I don't think you're right. You can call back next week and say you were right, but I don't see that happening.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was the hurricane. The big story is what nobody's talking about is the insurance companies. They are sweating this one out. This is big money for them. If it really makes big, they got to pay out. We're talking in the hundreds of billions of dollars here. some of the major insurance companies I've heard may decide next time around cancel policies. They can't do it anymore. They're getting really hammered with these things. That's what I've been hearing from some insurance people I know in the industry.
Yeah, they made like $8 billion worth of profit, though, over the last several years. I think they're going to be fine.
Sooner or later, you know, they may decide to cut some of these policies along the coasts and so, or ask them to pay even higher premiums. They're really getting busted on it. They've made money. But these hurricanes and the extreme weather that may increase, there may be more. It's hurting them.
First of all, there's not going to be more. Stan, I've heard this for years. There's going to be more. We want 12 years. We want 12 years without one hitting. All of a sudden, oh, they're going to be worse. It's going to intensify. We have no idea.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it will or won't. But I'm saying the insurance companies over the last couple of years have taken a beating. You're right, they've made money, but they've taken major beatings with this.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Stan, except for the fact that for 12 years they profited because they didn't have to pay anybody out. So the fact that they have to pay out now is not going to kill them. They're not going to get killed on this. They've made such a huge profit. If they paid out $2 billion, they still have $6 billion they can rest on. Believe me, they've made so much money. And this Obamacare deal, that's the biggest joke about Obamacare. The biggest joke about Obamacare is that it was an unholy deal with the insurance companies. It was hitting the mother load. And that's how we got it through. The reason the insurance companies never fought Obamacare, never fought the Affordable Care Act, is because it made them a fortune. Because they never capped costs. That you can bring on 26-year-olds in your parents' plan. You can bring on pre-existing conditions. 40 million people that weren't insured before, it doesn't matter. We'll just pass the cost along. The idea that they're going to take some major hit and they're going to cancel policies, no, they'll raise the rates. That's all. They're still going to make. They're not going to lose money because we allow them to rob us. And we allow them to rob us because they're such a powerful lobbying force. So, Stan, I wish you were right. I wish it was hurting them. It's not going to hurt them. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Coming back with your phone call right after this. I got a few more topics I want to talk about, so let's get through some of the phone calls about Trump working with the Democrats, starting with Carolyn in New York City. You're on 77 WABC.
Hello, Larry. You know, you're absolutely right. Trump doesn't do anything unless he has a deal. There's got to be a deal somewhere in there. The Democrats have been calling him Looney Tune, stupid, racist, and everything. So he's making a deal with them because he's getting something out of it. And he's showing those dumb chuckles on the right that, see, even though they call me all these names and they do all these things to me, they'll make a deal with me. You sit over there on the sidelines looking like a bunch of dopes and chuckles like you really are. And you see that even though these people hate my guts, they will make a deal with me. This makes them look twice as bad.
Oh, absolutely.
The Republicans look like idiots.
And that's why he's doing it. That's exactly why he's doing it, Carolyn. Roberta from Staten Island, you're on 77 WABC.
Didn't our president write a book called The Art of the Deal? I mean, this latest deal doesn't seem like a deal for, it just seems on the side of the Democrats. I don't see why he didn't get them to help him repeal Obamacare. It just doesn't seem much of a deal to me. And here's
what the deal was. The deal was that that he wanted Harvey money now, and he wanted Harvey money quickly. And so what he did was he pushed back the fight over the debt ceiling for 3 months. That wasn't much to give up to get the Harvey money right now. So that was a pretty good deal to me. And by the way, you don't want it to be a big deal. You don't want it to be something major because the reason for this was to tell the Republicans, you better start working with me or I'll work with the Democrats. That's what this is all about. So you didn't want anything major to happen. He just wanted to do some small deal that he knew would get passed anyway to let the Republicans know, I'm going to embarrass you unless you start working with me.
Well, I hope it works because I want to mention about the hurricane. After Sandy, I got flood insurance. I wasn't supposed to be in a flood area, and it seems to come through FEMA. It doesn't come through the insurance companies, even though I pay them out of the insurance company. The policy is from FEMA, though.
Yeah, no, there's a... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Roberta, but it... Yes, some of it's from FEMA, some of it's from the insurance companies. If you're insured to the point, because you said you're outside of a flood area, so that's why FEMA came in and took over. But if you were in a flood area, you would have had to have flood insurance, and then the insurance companies would have handled that. Patrick from Manhattan, you're on 77 WABC.
Thank you, Larry. All of these people, I don't understand Donald Trump. These Republicans, I'm an independent now. I left the Republican Party. These people are a bunch of wimps. Donald Trump knows Chuck Schumer, a.k.a. Charlie Schumer, for over 30 years from Brooklyn. All of these people were complaining they should call 877-762-8762. That's the Senate office building. Patch in zip code 85037. That's Phoenix. Start with John McCain. Tell those guys in the Senate to change their panties and have some nerve, because it's later than they think. None of them could ever get a job with the Trump administration or in his offices in Manhattan, because these guys are really wimps. They couldn't make it out on the outside. They come to Washington with holes in their shoes like Harry Reid, 20 cents in their pockets, and they retire with multimillionaires. So keep calling the Senate office building, patching the zip code of your senators, and tell them to be real men.
All right, a couple of things, Patrick. First of all, thanks for the phone call. But, yeah, have you seen the age of senators? It's like the best retirement home in the world. I wouldn't talk about the panties. I'd say change your depends. And also, with John McCain, the one thing I would never, ever call him, and I know you didn't just mean him, but is a wimp. You can't call a guy that was tortured in a prisoner of war's camp ever a wimp. You got to give him respect. You may not like his politics. You may not like what he's done recently, but the man always deserves your respect. Scott from Massachusetts, you're in 77 WABC.
Good morning, Mr. Menti.
All right, Scott, as soon as the Jewish thing comes out, I'm hanging up.
Yeah, well, all right, you got my number. I'll be fair with you. You were fair with me.
Okay.
He's making a deal with the devil. Let's be honest. Charles Schumer, Adam Schiff, Bernie Sanders, Dianne Feinstein, they knifed him in the back. I know the Republicans are horrible, but that's pretty pathetic that he has to make a deal with the devil. And you got also that they were working in concert with George Soros. It's a sorry state on America, Mr. Menti, that he has to resort to that. I don't see how he's still going to get anything done. And I still don't trust the Democrats, and I think they're still going to knife him in the back. And as far as the Republicans go, they've already betrayed him. So President Trump is really, in my opinion, he's really in dire straits.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Scott, and thank you for the phone call. No, I agree with you. They are going to knife him in the back again. He's going to work with the Democrats when he can work with the Democrats. There's going to be certain things that they're never going to work with him on, ever. But when he can work with them to get something done, he's going to. You watch this infrastructure bill. When the infrastructure bill comes around, Al Franken said he'd sponsor it. He's going to work with the Democrats. The Republicans have already said that it's going to cost too much money. They're going to fight him on the infrastructure bill. You watch. He's going to pass that with the Democrats. What he wants the Republicans to do is help with DACA so he has some political cover, and to help with the tax code. Now, the one thing Republicans do well is tax bills, our tax bills. That's one of the things they do really do well. So watch for the tax bill to happen first. Then he's going to shift to the infrastructure bill, and he's going to do that right before the midterm elections. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Greg from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
I got two things, Larry, real quick. Good morning.
Sure. Good morning.
I don't understand here. The president reaches out to other people to bring aid to people in need for a disaster. There's something wrong with that?
No, I don't see anything wrong with that at all. And I've said that from the very beginning. No, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And he did not want any kind of political fight. And this was the most expedient way to get that relief.
I mean, I grew up about 600 feet from a creek in northern New Jersey. Every year in April, it flooded. We were just outside of the range, thank God. But every one of us in that neighborhood, it didn't matter who you were. You need help pushing your car. You need help moving something. You do that. We're all neighbors, crying out loud. This is sick, if you will. The other thing is Florida.
One last thing on that, and before you get to Florida, one last thing on that. Both sides went in and talked to Donald Trump. Both sides went in and talked, and they proposed what they wanted. And he liked what the Democrats said better and thought it was the fastest and easiest way to get something passed. And he got to put off what was going to be a nasty fight over the debt ceiling. He got to put that off for 3 months. And so that it would have gotten in the way of other things. So it was. I thought it was a brilliant move on his part, and it was a warning shot to the Republicans.
The other thing is the way the storm is tracking up north. Anybody who's been in that part of Florida, from Interstate 75, west, you got Route 41, those communities must be 10, 15, 20 feet above sea level at best. All those inlets, all those places with hundreds of communities, a 10-foot surge from the ocean, yikes.
Yeah, and 10-foot, that's moderate. That's not the what they're saying right now. They're talking up to 15 feet. So some of these outward islands, some of the outer islands and peninsulas and some of the areas you're talking about that are swampy, they're going to be underwater.
It's like 100 miles from there, from Fort Myers to Tampa, all 30 feet above sea level at best.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a huge problem. This is a big, big deal.
So a month from now, will they have to make another deal to, like, actually help people?
Push it back another 3 months? I think Trump would like that. No, I got a feeling the Republicans might get in line right now, but this is a huge problem. This is going to be a power outage like we've never seen before, too, the way the power is going to be out down there. This is, in many ways, we thought Harvey was bad. In many ways, this is going to be worse than Harvey. Because
all
of where it's hitting.
How many days of each other wearing?
No, God. I understand. And this is after 12 years of, like, nothing. All of a sudden, we get two.
Let's hope it's the last one for a while. Jeez.
No, I hope so. I hope we have another 12 years of nothing. Thanks a lot, Greg. I really appreciate it. Let me see if I can get the latest since we're talking about there is a widespread power outage in the lower Florida Keys. Well, that was to be expected. Hurricane now has sustained winds of 120 miles an hour. That makes it a Category 3, but it's expected to strengthen before reaching Florida. They don't know if it's going to strengthen to a Category 5. Hurricane Irma begins its turn away from Cuba's coast up towards Florida. They have hurricane strength winds at this point. There's 30,000 people without power just in the Florida Keys. There is almost 200,000 people in Florida right now without power. And the hurricane hasn't even hit yet. The amount of people that are going to be without power is going to be historic. It's going to be unprecedented. And we'll be covering this over the next couple of days. I'll be covering it in the next half hour. When we come up next, though, I do want to make certain I talk about the Senator Menendez trial. And the reason I want to talk about it is because it's not getting covered the way it should get covered. And also, I think that there's too many Republicans that believe they're going to get a chance to replace Menendez. And I'm going to tell you why. I don't care if he gets convicted or not. That's not going to happen. I'll explain when we come right back. Now, before I get to the Menendez trial, I do want to send prayers and best wishes and hopes for a recovery for the entire family to Eric Bolling and his family after not only was he fired, but then the death of his son. It was apparently hours after it was announced that he was fired that news broke that his 19-year-old son had died. So Fox News sent out this statement. We are very saddened to hear the passing of Eric Bolling's son. Eric Chase was a wonderful young man, and our thoughts and prayers are with the entire Bolling family. Now, details of the death weren't immediately available, but there was this rumor going around that it was suicide. And at least right now, it doesn't seem like that. It seems like Eric Chase died of a drug overdose. Now, whether it was on purpose or not will have to be investigated. But right now, the information is that Eric Bolling was having a hard time dealing with the trouble his dad was having at the network. And according to sources, he was extremely embarrassed by the stories and emotionally upset. This is a statement from Eric Bowling. Adrian and I are devastated by the loss of our beloved son. Details still unclear. He continued, authorities have informed us there is no sign of self-harm at this point. Autopsy will be next week. Please respect our grieving period. Apparently, this happened like hours after it was announced that he was fired by Fox News. Eric Chase Bowling Jr. was found dead Friday evening in Boulder, California, where he attended school. His dad and the Fox News network parted company after the co-host of The Five allegedly sent lewd text messages to co-workers along with photos of his genitals. Bowling has vowed to clear his name, but the timing suggests that it all might have been too much to handle for his son. So just an absolute tragedy. He lost his job and he lost his son. And not that the two are anyway comparable. Losing your son is, I can't even imagine losing a child. It's the worst thing that can possibly happen to a human being. And so our thoughts and prayers are with Eric Bowling and his family over the loss of his son. Now let's deal with this trial in New Jersey that has huge ramifications. It involves a powerful United States senator on bribery and corruption charges. And the fate of Trump's agenda could hang in the balance, as a conviction may give the Republicans another Republican vote and expand their majority. But I don't think so. Still, just the possibility of that, that's a pretty big story, right? So why hasn't the media been all over this? Now, I get that everything is taking a back seat to Hurricane Harvey and now Irma, but the corruption trial of New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez deserves a whole lot more coverage than it's been getting. It should be right now the biggest political story in the country. It barely gets a mention. And so everybody missed, although we've been playing it for you here, everybody missed Senator Menendez's emotional reaction to the first day of his trial.
I appreciate all of my supporters who have stood by me as I try to clear my name. I am thankful for the countless New Jerseyans who have either called me or called my office and say they have my back as I've had theirs. And I have always acted in accordance with the law. And I believe when all of the facts are known, I will be vindicated. Thank you very much.
Now, just imagine for a moment if a Republican senator was up on corruption charges, bribery charges. They would be split screening with hurricane coverage, Hurricane Irma coverage. But the Democrats aren't really talking about it either, and so the media that they control is not talking about it. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Now, the New York Times did cover the opening of the trial in a 1,300-word article. And not once in their article did the newspaper mention that Menendez is a Democrat. Can you get more biased than that? Stating the political affiliation is enshrined in the AP style book, the Bible of proper newspaper publishing. You can't tell me that of all the people who had to see that article before it went to print, that all those people missed such a glaring mistake. And yet, if you go through the paper, every Republican in the same edition is named. And if they're a conservative, then it says right wing or conservative Republican. But liberals and Democrats don't get the same treatment. If it's a bad story, they don't even mention it's a Democrat. It gets infuriating. Menendez, as you probably know, just as a reminder, just as a foundation to the story, is accused of taking luxury trips, private jet rides, vacation gifts, and campaign donations from Solomon Melgen, a West Palm Beach doctor. The whole argument for the defense right now is that those two are friends. All of the charges, all of the gifts are just the evidence of a friendship, not corruption. The prosecution in their opening mocked that argument, saying there is no friendship exemption from bribery. The problems that Menendez has is that he did so much specifically for Melgen, getting his girlfriend's U.S. visas, intervening in an $8.9 million Medicare dispute between Melgen and the federal government. And he tried to help him get a port security contract in the Dominican Republic by going to the State Department. Time and time again, Menendez was doing the bidding of Melgen, who was giving him luxurious gifts. Some friendship they had. So let's talk about what happens if Menendez gets convicted. A verdict is expected in October. If the Senate seat becomes open in New Jersey, the governor gets to make the pick. Until January 1st, the governor will be Chris Christie. So here is what's going to happen. I can already tell you. There will be a demand by Republicans for Menendez to resign if he gets convicted. And they'll be pressuring Democrats. But Democrats will say he has to hold on during his appeal. He has a right to an appeal and he gets to hold on. And that's exactly what he will do. It'll be embarrassing for the Democratic Party, but they don't lose that seat. It takes 67 votes in the Senate to expel a sitting senator, and the Republicans just don't have it, and the Democrats will line up behind Menendez. Phil Murphy, a Democrat, is the odds-on favorite to become New Jersey's next governor. And Kim Guadagno, who I like, I'm sorry, but the polls say it's going to be Phil Murphy. Menendez will definitely hold off until the gubernatorial election and probably beyond. Menendez's seat is up next year, so he has until next November. And he could make it a year, believe it or not. The last senator convicted for bribery while in office was Harrison Williams. Remember Abscam? So guess where he's from, right? He's from New Jersey. Where else? But he refused to resign, and he lasted for a full year while he appealed. Look, this is going to be a big deal. If Menendez is convicted, it's going to be a huge partisan fight. It's going to be the big story. But I will bet you that Menendez stays in office pending appeal, and he probably can last until he's up for re-election, which he will not run. Someone else will run for that seat. It'll be a big race in New Jersey. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We're coming back right after this. All right, we're hours away from the worst of Hurricane Irma, but tomorrow's going to be an awful day for Florida, especially along the Gulf Coast. Let's get to a few things I wanted to talk about but didn't have the time for it because I wanted to get to your phone calls. The PC statue panel is what the Post is calling this commission that Mayor de Blasio is putting together to decide what should happen with some statues in the city that he says may not be in line with New York values, is what he says. I'm not sure what the New York values are, but the New York values must be whatever he thinks the values are. But so he's put on this a longtime de Blasio campaign supporter, Harry Belafonte. You know who Harry Belafonte is. He's an entertainer and a civil rights advocate. So he is going to be on this commission. Also, John Meacham. Thank God that John Meacham's going to be on, because he's an award-winning biographer. He's editor-in-chief at Newsweek, or at least he used to be. He's an award-winning biographer of Thomas Jefferson and Andrew Jackson. John Calvelli, who hosted a fundraiser for de Blasio at the Waldorf Astoria. Also, he's just paying off all the guys that helped him in the campaign. Now, people are worried about Christopher Columbus and Ulysses S. Grant. I doubt they're coming down. What they're going to do, though, however, is they may put up plaques talking about all the, like a scarlet letter, these plaques will be, talking about all the bad things they did to make sure there's some historical perspective. But they also have to put some good things they did as well, I would think. But the one that may come down is a Harlem monument to Dr. J. Marion Sims, a pioneering gynecologist criticized for conducting medical experiments on slaves without anesthesia in the 1800s. That one may come down. But I don't think it's going to be as bad as you think it's going to be. I think if Mayor de Blasio had his way, he'd bring some down. But one of the problems that Mayor de Blasio has is this was a hot issue when he put the commission together. It's died down. In this 24-second news cycle that we're in, it's amazing how quickly stories become important and not important anymore. And this has died down already. On the show that I host, the Jersey Matters show, we were talking about doing a whole show about statues coming down, and we just brought it up again a couple days ago, and we said, nobody cares anymore. So it's not a big story anymore. So if Bill de Blasio were suddenly start to take statues down, people are going to go, why? What's going on? Why are you bringing this up again? So it's died down. He's going to have this commission. We may never hear from them again. They may bring down a statue or two, but it's not going to be anything controversial. It's not going to be Columbus Circle, so don't worry about it. Also wanted to talk about this New Hampshire voter ID. The voter fraud in New Hampshire is a big, big deal. This could potentially be a huge deal. Now, remember that Maggie Hassan defeated Kelly Ayotte in the U.S. Senate race by only 1,000 votes. And Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump by 2,736 votes. And now we know that people were coming from out of state to vote. We know that, because they had to sign a document saying they're out of state, but they were either moving to the state or they had some affiliation to the state or that they were going to be permanent residents very soon. But we first learned about the possibility of widespread voter fraud from James O'Keefe, the marauding journalist who's with Project Veritas, who went up there with undercover video and went up and asked people, hey, I'm from out of state, can I vote? Listen to some of the audio of this.
How long do I have to stay in New Hampshire to vote today?
There's no requirement.
Another state, okay. Or I don't, but I'm not living here as of right now. I'm just looking to vote here.
Do you have intention of living here indefinitely?
Not indefinitely.
You want to vote today, you might tell them that you're with your friend and you're here indefinitely. Which
okay.
Sounds like it's true.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
And if...
Yeah, not 100% true, but I understand,
right, yeah. We can cut it off there. Listen, that was a Democratic poll watcher, right? And so just in case you didn't hear it all, he was going up and saying, look, I'm from out of state, how do I vote today? And they said, well, are you going to live here? And he said, no, I'm not going to live here. And they said to him, well, go over and tell them that you are going to live here. So the poll watcher, the Democratic poll watcher, was telling them they have to lie to the officials at the polling place to be able to vote. Now, put that together with recently, they did a comparison because they wanted to change the voter laws. And so the Speaker of the House up there in the legislature, Sean Jasper, asked for these statistics. And they found out that 81% of the 6,500 people who registered using out-of-state IDs last year either didn't move there, they don't have any residence there, or they didn't get a driver's license there. 6,500 people. Now, that doesn't mean there has to be more research. It doesn't mean they all voted fraudulently. But it does seem like 4,800 people lied so they could vote. Now, they came from surrounding states like Massachusetts and Vermont and Connecticut. all Democratic states. And it sounds like, as we heard from the Project Veritas tape, that this was pretty common. They knew exactly what they needed to tell people to do so they could vote. So think about this after this investigation, the ramifications of this. I don't think they're going to overturn the election results, although they certainly could. But I don't think they're going to give those three electoral votes to Donald Trump because it's not going to mean anything. It's a bigger deal in the Senate election where Maggie Hassan beat Kelly Ayotte. But this is going to be a big investigation. What is going to happen, though, is there will be a new call for voter ID across the country. That would be the best thing that could happen out of this. And I hope it does happen. Quickly, I wanted to mention the story that I thought was pretty funny, that Amorosa from The Apprentice is being kept away from the White House and kept away from Donald Trump. That's a story that's out. She's been put on, they're calling it the no-fly list, that Kelly is being kept by White House aides away from any serious meetings and away from any meetings with the president. They just put her off all the time, which I thought was fascinating. And here's the one last thing I wanted to talk about. My son, and I want to do this as a topic another week, and I'll just start to talk about it now. My son's in fifth grade, and he plays football. Fifth grade. And he is incredible at it. Big kid, 10 years old. He's 5'2" and 120 pounds. And I just went to practice yesterday, and in the drills, he just wipes out people. He has the potential of being a very good football player. I mean, I know it's really early, but he's good at it. And he enjoys it. He likes it. Like every other parent, I am concerned about head injuries. Like every other parent, I'm concerned about concussions. It's all you hear about when you hear about football these days are the concussions. And you have some of these experts coming out saying that if you let your child play football, you're basically committing child abuse. And because of that, participation in football programs across the country is dramatically down. Three high schools in New Jersey had to do away with their football programs. In Vermont, the Wall Street Journal had a story in it a couple of days ago where they were talking about in Vermont, it's a serious problem, and that the high school programs everywhere throughout the state are being threatened. Now, I will say this. There is a study out about high school football and saying that it's not as bad as in college or in the pros. And I'll get to that in a second. And maybe I'll have to get to that next time because I'm running out of time. But in fifth grade, my feeling is that force is mass times speed. And at that age, they don't really have that much mass or that much speed. So they're not hurting each other. I think I do need to make a decision in high school, but then I found this article that said, even with all the headlines, researchers looked at long-term survey data from men who graduated high school in Wisconsin in 1957. Some had played high school football, some hadn't. But they found out that there is really no difference when it comes to brain damage. Even though the concussions weren't, they didn't keep track of them at the time, but there really was no difference between the two groups, and which made me feel better. And again, I want to talk more about this because I think it's a huge topic. Well, I hope Florida stays safe through Irma. I have a feeling that's all we'll be talking about for the next week, and I hope you stay safe as well. Thanks for listening. See you next week.